I almost
that.
Said medication.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much you know about the history of Valentine's Day, but it goes back to Roman times. And the Emperor Claudius II seemed to notice that his warriors, his Roman soldiers, the ones who were braver were the ones who were unmarried. So he made a decree that his soldiers could not be married. And this didn't go over terribly well, as you can imagine. And a Roman called Valentinius actually thought that that was unfair, and he secretly was marrying the soldiers who wanted to marry their sweethearts. Now, when Claudius, the emperor, found out what Valentinius was doing, he threw him into jail. Well, that didn't stop Valentinius. He fell in love with the jailkeeper's daughter. Yeah! And he gave her the first ever Valentine's card. It was actually a note that he wrote and slipped to her, and he signed it, "From Your Sweet Valentine." And that's how this all got started. Isn't that amazing? Of course, it's gone its way over the centuries, and 17th century is when it started, really picked up and became a little more popular, and February 14th became an important day to exchange love and flowers and notes and cards and things, and small festivals were even held. Of course, and then after that, Hallmark got a hold of it. And we all know what happened after that. So Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and it is a time of love and sharing special thoughts with people, whether it's your spouse, your lover, your friends, your family, strangers. And everybody needs that little bit of love. And I thought we'd talk a little bit today about love. Now, I remember one Valentine's Day when our youngest granddaughter, Mackenzie, was just about 4 years old. And she was so excited because her stepfather took her down to the mall and let her pick out a present for her mom. And they came home and she had this big heart-shaped box full of chocolate candies. And of course, she could barely wait till Valentine's Day to give it to mom. So we were all there. And she gives it to her mom, and mom oohs and ahs over it and everything, and then takes the lid off the box of chocolates. And I think to show, for Mackenzie the principle of sharing, she passed it around to each of us. Well, when it got to be Mackenzie's turn, and you could just see her getting more and more excited as that box makes the rounds towards her, and when it got to be her turn, she reached for the largest piece in the box. And her mom said, "Now, Mackenzie, you know that if you touch the piece, you have to eat it." You could almost see the wheels turning in her four-year-old head. And she reached out with both hands and went, "Womp!" You know, you have to be careful what you say, because you might have to follow through. Another story I'll share with you is I read about this young man who was a handsome young man, you know, and he was shopping in a department store. What is that? Am I doing something?
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's not. Let's see. How about if I just hold it? Okay. Mackenzie. Okay, we'll do it this way. And so this nice young man was in a department store, and he really didn't have a Valentine to give anything to that Valentine's Day, but he was hopeful, you know, that someone might appear. And he caught sight of this nice young clerk who was standing behind the counter, and he sort of looked her way, hopefully. And she looked back and smiled at him. Of course, he thought, well, now's my chance. You know, this is it, fate. So he kind of ambles over there, and he says hello, and she says hello, and he says, you know, I'll do anything you wish, beautiful lady, for just $1 and one condition. And she kind of looked at him, and she'd never heard this approach before. So she takes the bait. She says, okay, what's the condition? He says, you have to tell me your wish in just 3 words. And she thought for a minute. She thought. And she, her eyes lit up, and she said, clean my house. Yeah, so that didn't have the outcome he expected either. Can any of you remember a special day, a special Valentine in your history? Maybe it was about you, maybe about somebody else. Can you remember a Valentine party or a gift or something? Anyone? No, you've all been Mormon up until now. Yeah, did you have something?
No,
oh, well. Yeah, well, take a moment, think. You know, think back. Maybe you were in, I taught elementary school for 20 years. And I tell you, even bigger than Christmas and Halloween was Valentine's Day in elementary school. The kids are so excited because everybody gets something. You know, and, well, fortunately he wasn't in my class. But, you know, the teachers usually have everybody make some kind of little container, and then the kids bring in their either homemade or drugstore Valentines. And the teacher, of course, always has an extra batch of them in case she notices or he notices that the rottenest kid in the class isn't getting many. And you go fill their box from your secret admirer. So some memories like that kind of stick in your mind forever, just like the story of our Mackenzie. I think we'll be telling that for years to come. We do? Who is that? Is it your birthday? Oh, your name's Valentine. Oh, my goodness. That's something to live up to, isn't it? I can just imagine being your mom hollering, Valentine, you quit that. That's lovely. Oh, it's a big Valentine's party, huh? Well, Valentine's is all about love. And it is something that I think we should be thinking about every day of the year instead of just one day a year. And I know we do that. We just probably don't make a big deal out of it unless it's someone's birthday or anniversary or some other special day. But it's part of our lives every day of every year. There's lots of different kinds of love. Can there any you can think of? Spiritual love, divine love. What else? Platonic love. Unconditional love. Oh, isn't that what we all would like to be mentors for? Yeah. Okay, Arthur, you have to share.
What?
What? Plutonic love. Puppy love. I was just, yeah, our puppy's right out there. You'll hear her bark once in a while. And we're deeply involved in puppy love right now. Yeah. And then there's the love between parent and child, certainly, and love of our friends. I mean, I truly think that some of the deepest loves are between friends. They last often from childhood on. My best friend is, we've known each other since we were 10 years old, and we've been singing together since then and continue to sing right now, 60 years later. Although she drives me crazy, sometimes it's hard to remember, I love her. Because I'm sure I wear on her nerves too. So we all have the capacity to love in a lot of different ways. you don't love your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or the same as you love your mother or your brother or you know, a special friend of some sort. It's not exactly the same quality. I mean, I think of all the love songs around, and most of the love songs over the years have expressed love towards, you know, in a romantic way. And yet, there's also lots of songs that can be interpreted differently than that, as far as love. Oh, what's the one Rod Stewart recorded, Have I Told You Lately? And he's actually singing to Jesus in that song. Of course, they didn't promote it that way. But that's what that song is about. I think of Ed Ames, and now my age is out there if it wasn't already. My cup runneth over with love. Does anybody remember that? In that beautiful bass voice of his? Yeah. And then there was a songwriter. She's still recording. I don't know if she's still performing. Chris Williamson. And she sang about love being like an endless waterfall, filling up and spilling over all. And I just love that. I mean, I can almost feel the water coming down over my shoulders. And it's such a marvelous graphic image. And then Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Yes. Well, you got that right there, don't you? Is there one up here? How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And it's in your program, and it's just an amazing, I think of more than any other poem or song that I've ever heard of, this probably has survived time. It's truly a classic love poem. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with a passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death. Isn't that an amazing? It does. It just grabs you, doesn't it? I also remember Michael Stillwater. He used to call himself Maitreya Stillwater. I don't know if anybody remembers him. He used to. He had a song that when Richard and I were in church ministry, we'd often use during the offertory song. There's an infinite supply of love in this world. It's in God, it's in you, it's in me, and it's free to everyone, like a river from the sun, and it's shining here for all to see. And I, again, love that. I love water images. Can you tell? That image of a flow of love. And that's kind of the way I look at love. You know, we talk about Barbra Streisand saying of endless love, and oh, so many hundreds, if not thousands, of other love songs that tell us about different aspects of love. You know, but I'm asking the question, where does all that love come from? We say it's an endless supply. Like a waterfall, you know, that spills over. I think of some of the fountains at Unity Village that run 24 hours a day. And at 3 in the morning, you can walk out there and just feel that flow. Where does all that come from? Anybody have a notion? God? Mm-hmm. Did you have an idea? Nope. Forget I was a classroom teacher. I could take signals. I don't mean to make you nervous, darling. So we've got people saying it's the same source that gives us life. It's God is the source of love. Does it really go on eternally? Well, how come you may have been in love more than once? You know, is it exclusive? I mean, can you love just one person? Different kinds of love. Yeah, we just talked about some different kinds of love. And so some come with riders on the contract, don't they? Yes, conditions, yeah. And yet I know you mentioned a while ago, Bill, unconditional love. And I think that's what our souls crave, unconditional love. Richard, and I won't share all the details of the story, but he did have a, you don't call it a near-death experience, do you? What do you call it?
A death experience.
A death experience. During surgery, when he was just a little boy, 5 or 6 years old, and they lost him on the table. So much loss of blood, and he remembers a feeling. He said there was no white light at the end of a tunnel for him, but just this overwhelming feeling of unconditional love and acceptance. How many of you have ever experienced that in this lifetime? Okay. Yeah. He talks about it as actually being beyond words, like nothing that happens to us in these bodies in this lifetime. So if you get to experience even just a glimpse of that, how blessed you are. Yeah. And I feel like these days, despite what's going on in our world that feels like anything but love, that there's an opening being created for the healing of anything that is unlike love. And that we're closer now than we've probably ever been to experiencing unconditional love. Not just coming to us, but moving through us and out to everyone else. That's hard to remember when you watch the evening news. You know, very hard. But what does the word love mean to you? Just a word or two. What does it mean to you? Acceptance.
Support.
Safety.
Devotion.
Isn't that a beautiful word? Devotion.
Quality.
Honesty. Honesty and equality are so important. Pardon?
Respect.
Mm-hmm. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Enveloping.
All-encompassing. Unconditional love that just, we sort of swim in it. There we go with the water references again. Well, Charles Fillmore, who was the co-founder of the Unity Movement with his wife Myrtle Fillmore, and he was called the modern mystic in his day, and he defined love as that invisible force that holds things together, like within an atom that keeps the protons and electrons, rotating around the nucleus. And what it's a kind of like gravity, what holds us on the earth. You know, it's a power that we take for granted, and it's always there. It's always there. And we utilize it frequently without even giving it a second thought. You know? It's the stuff, according to Fillmore, that holds everything together in the physical world, in the spiritual world, in the mental and emotional world. So if you say you're falling apart, perhaps you need more love in your life so you can pull yourself together. Because that's kind of the effect that love has on we strange human beings. So love isn't a thing. Love is a force, a dynamic, moving, swirling force. I think that's why we use the euphemism falling in love. How many of you have ever fallen in love? Everything is euphoric and You just feel swept away. Yes. Well, you are. You're swept into that stream. God's love is flowing like a river. And when we are aware of that and we submerge ourselves in it, when we jump in the river, we are one with that flow. And sometimes it's fun when you jump in with somebody else. It can happen to everyone. All it really takes is an open heart and an open mind. Now, you were talking about love and an open heart, and I have this developing theory that's been growing in me the last few years, that it is the combination of the mind descended into the heart that is the soul level, the love level from which we can operate. And so it's not excluding one is better than the other, but both are essential to be integrated so that we can actually experience all of love. And we can begin to operate our lives, to function in the real world from that soul level. Of course, I make it 100% all the time. And well, you're gullible. But it really requires a lot of us, doesn't it? To be present, to take the time and the effort, to make the effort to descend with the mind into the heart and experience that divine love, and then be able to be a locus, to be a center point, a still point for that love. Now, I remember being in Sunday school. My mom always took me to Sunday school, and she was Anglican, being from England, but sometimes we went to other denominations too, so I remember all kinds of different Sunday schools depending upon where we were living. But I always remember one thing. They would say, God is love. And they would sing, Jesus loves you. This I know, you know. And Jesus loves the little children. How many of you remember those songs? They are ingrained in your consciousness forever, aren't they? Yeah. Well, I have to say that much as I loved church, and I did, church, coming from a dysfunctional family, and who doesn't? You know, I mean, if you think you didn't come from a dysfunctional family, see me after this service and I'll help you with your denial. You know? But I always questioned, much to the dismay of the minister or the priest, well, how does Jesus love me? How can I love somebody I've never met? And Jesus is a stranger, and I'm not supposed to talk to strangers. I was a little brat. Always questioning. And then they had the nerve to come up and say, well, you know, God is Jesus' father, and God loves you too, just like a father. Ooh, that was a sore spot for many, many years for me spiritually, because I came from an alcoholic home where my father drank a lot and was very abusive. I didn't want anything to do with God if God was like my father. You know, just wasn't enticing or attractive to me at all. So it really wasn't until later in my spiritual journey where I began to think of Jesus more as my brother, my elder brother. And I never had a brother. And so he was kind of, I sort of looked at the things they said, he said, and I thought, well, that's kind of like an older brother would guide me along the way. And I especially liked him because he didn't tease me. And then I started to think of God. I heard God called Creator. And I thought, I can accept that. I can work with God the Creator and Jesus, my brother. So I began to have a different viewpoint of what these two people were for me spiritually. Or not people, but what they were for me spiritually. But it really wasn't until I'd gone through several marriages and a whole bunch of relationships and kissed a lot of frogs, that I came to understand what love could be like between two human beings. Now, of course, I loved my mother, but I didn't agree with her on it. She was long dead by the time we made peace with each other. And it really wasn't until I found that the basis of a love relationship is to be friends first. To have the honor and respect, like you two were saying, for someone else. To know that they've got your best interests at heart, that they're going to be there, they're going to stand by you. You know, that kind of friendship. And once I found that kind of friendship, lo and behold, it was transformed into a love relationship. And that happened 27 years ago at Unity Village. Always I was choosing love partners who were, in essence, my father, and I was going to be their saviorette and fix them, you know. Until I had this real experience of equality, of acceptance, of someone wanting the best for you, what you thought was the best for you, not what they thought was the best for you. And they wanted you to be all that you could be, and vice versa. Now, if you have someone in your life like that, or if you're waiting for somebody like that to appear in your life, look around you. Look right around you. Be constantly aware and vigilant. Now, that doesn't mean to stalk somebody, you know. But look at the people who honor and respect you, who share good times with you, who have some mutual interests with you, who will stand up for you if someone else seems to attack you. Someone who is responsible, someone who encourages you and wants the best for you. And just give tons of thanks and gratitude for that relationship in your life. And focus on that relationship and see what might happen. I mean, Richard and I were stunned when we went from one of the best friendships I've ever had, if not the best friendship, and we went on a trip together, and just one day we looked at each other and everything was different. Everything was different. And it was a gift. It was the greatest blessing in my life. We had a friend who's a Unity minister, and she was a widow. And she went out in her first church when she graduated from ministerial school. She went out, and this church she just did so wonderfully well. The people loved and supported her and the church, and they made just a wonderful community spiritual center out of it. And still there was a little bit of a hole in her heart. You know, after she'd kind of said, well, I think I've arrived as a minister, as my spiritual purpose and mission. She said, but I sure wish I had a companion to travel with me. Someone really special. Well, you know, you have to be careful what you ask for. She was sitting in a board meeting one night with all of her board members there, and she was giving her minister's report, and she looked up, and she looked right into the eyes, you know, completely caught by this other person's eyes. And it was a person on her board. She thought, well, I can't do this. That would not be ethical. Well, they went to coffee afterwards, and a friendship started to grow, and this friendship turned into something more. The thing that she had forgotten to specify in her prayer work for a partner, well, she forgot to say, I'd like a man. And she looked into the eyes of her spiritual soulmate, who was a woman. And she said, I've never felt the depth of love, even with my former husband. Had never had any homosexual urges. Always considered herself heterosexual. But this time she knew that God had really answered her prayers, and she knew that she was going to accept whatever consequences, you know, whatever challenges they were going to meet in life, they were going to meet them together. And so they told the board in private, and the board was very supportive because they had wanted a partner for her for a long time too. They knew that there was that little ache for someone special in her life. And then they announced it, she and her partner announced it on Sunday to the congregation. And she told them, she said, "I understand that not everyone will agree with this. And if it is upsetting to the congregation, I will resign." And they gave her a standing ovation. And she's been there, what, at least 15, 20 more years since then? Yeah. You can't help but support love. You just can't. You may put up barriers to it for yourself or for others. You may judge yourself or others. But love is the most precious gift in the world. And it is here to be accepted and to be shared. This Valentine's Day, I challenge you. I don't just invite you. I challenge you to look around at your circle of friends, people that you relate to, or someone who just has had a friendly word for you, and maybe it's not gone any further than that. Send your love to them. If it's your partner, amp it up. Amp it up. Tell your partner every day what a special person he or she is to you. Because Valentine's Day is just around the corner. It's only 2 days away. What do you got to lose?